was moved by Ms. Blankenship's testimony, and the scripture that God put on my heart was the scripture that I preached this morning. And so tonight we've gone quite a bit over that, and I was going to do the same thing. God said, "Nah, you preach what I told you to preach this afternoon." So, and I'll be quick, I hope. In Ephesians chapter number 5, if you will. Ephesians chapter number 5. And this goes back a little bit to this morning and my lunch that I had today. And I was talking with Brother Lowell and his wife and his brother. And it seemed like we talked about everything under the sun. But I had a real good time. And we got to talking about their great-grandbabies. And we got to talking about grandbabies. I can't imagine them talking about that, but that's what we got to talking about. And I began to think about that a little bit, and I began to think of this message that God had me preach some time ago. And I was thinking about the song we sang this morning, the invitation, the song we sang at the invitation last week. It says, "I have decided to follow Jesus." Amen. It says, "Though none go with me, still I will follow. I've decided to follow Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me, I've decided to follow Jesus." And how dearly important it is for us to decide and make a conscious effort in our souls to follow God at any cost. To follow God no matter what it takes. And I like the example that Paul is talking about to the church at Ephesus in chapter number 5. And I like what the Bible says. And I'm going to start in chapter number 4 and verse number 30 just because I like what the Bible says there too. Amen. And we're going to get into the scriptures a little bit. And I want us to look at this illustration or this simile that God shares with us and that God gives to Paul as he's describing what it means to truly follow God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Chapter number 5, I want you to listen closely. We're going to draw our message from the next two verses. "Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children." As dear children. See, I believe that even as adults in here this evening, we have some things that we can learn from children. We have some things that we can learn from watching children. And Brother Larry, I read that scripture and I began to think about why Paul would say that. I began to think about what it was that appealed to God, that he intended for this word to seep into our hearts and for us to get understanding from. And in verse number 2 it says, "And walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice unto God for a sweet-smelling savor." And I believe that as we look into this scripture, I believe that there are some things that we can learn about how a child follows. There are some things that if we were to sit down and think about it the way I have with this message and meditate on it, we can think to ourselves, you know, that would make sense that God would say that. That would make sense that God would tell us to follow as children. And with the help of the Lord, and for the next few moments, I'm going to preach on this thought, following the leader. Following the leader. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you for this evening. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, that there's a sweet spirit in here and a spirit of liberty, God. And I thank you for these people. And Lord, I pray that you just give me the words to say, the message I need to hear tonight. I pray that it wouldn't fall on deaf ears. And God, I pray that you would touch each and every single heart in the sanctuary tonight and bring us back safely as we go to our homes tonight, God. And Lord, help us to meditate on the word that we've heard today, God, and just bask in the glory of your greatness and how you've helped us today, Lord. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. I'm sure that every person in this room has some type of experience at some time or another with being in charge of a child in some capacity. Whether that be a Sunday school teacher, whether that be a mother or a father or a grandparent, whether maybe you were a counselor at church camp or at some time in your life, or maybe you were a coach, maybe you were a teacher, but in some capacity you were entrusted with that child, and you were entrusted to lead that child. And when I think about the way that a child follows, I think about it. I take it down to the most base way that I can. I take it down to the simplest form. And what I see in this scripture, what I see and what I think are three things, three ways that we can follow God as children would follow God. And the first way that I believe would be we need to follow with concentration. We need to follow with concentration. I don't know about you, but if you watch a child and you watch the way that they make their mind up about things, usually when a child gets their mind fixed on something, there is no change in their mind. When they get something in their mind, when they will to do something, they are going to do it, and nothing is going to stop them unless you intervene. And what I believe that God is telling us about being followers of God as dear children is sometimes as adults, we don't do quite a good job of following as children do. We don't do quite a good job of following instructions or not getting distracted as children might do. What the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 26, I love this scripture. I pray about this scripture. I hope that this is how God would find me. But the Bible says in Isaiah 26 and chapter number 3, the preacher, he says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." And if you've ever experienced that life, if you've ever experienced that verse in your life and it's ever been real to you in your life, you would understand what he's saying. Because in this world, it's easy to get overwhelmed. We live in a wicked, busy, crazy, hustle and bustle world. And it is so easy to get sidetracked from the things of God. It's so easy to get sidetracked from the purpose that God has for our lives and to get sidetracked away from the things of God and to get preoccupied with the things of the world and the things of ourselves. And I'm all for the family, but it's easy to let people get in the way. It's easy to make people more important than God in our lives. It's easy to let someone become an idol in our lives, to take God from his rightful place and take that person, as much as you love them, they don't deserve to have the place of God in your life, and to put them where God's rightful place is. It's easy to lose our focus sometimes, but the prophet Isaiah, he's telling us, he said, you're going to be kept in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. As long as we keep our eyes fixed on God, that is the important thing. As long as we keep our eyes on the prize. I mentioned it this morning. I referenced it while I was preaching or teaching one, but the Bible says the one thing that I do, I let go of the things that are behind, forgetting the things of the past and reaching forward to the things of the future. And it says, pressing forward for the high mark and the calling of Jesus Christ. Now, you guys are Kentuckians, and it seems like everywhere I go around here, there's pictures of horses. There's pictures of horses and there's pictures of them racing. And I don't know a whole lot about horse racing and I don't know a whole lot about horses because it seems like every time I'm around them, I end up getting hurt somehow. I'm injury prone when it comes to horses. I don't know anything about it. But I do know this, that when those horses get in those gates and they get in those chutes or those pins or whatever you call them where the gate drops and they take off running across that dirt, I do know this, that oftentimes they're set up with blinders on the sides of their eyes. And I tell you what would do you and I really good here tonight is if we could take some spiritual blinders. If we could take the Word of God and we could look at the world through the lenses of what God would have us to see. If we could allow God to change our vision and see things from a kingdom-minded spiritual standpoint, then I believe that it would help you and I to keep our eyes on Jesus, to keep our focus on Jesus, because that's the only way that you and I are going to be able to follow God. There is a game we used to play in the swimming pool when I was a kid, or as we were talking about earlier, the crick. When we play in the crick together, we play a game called Marco Polo. And you close your eyes, and one person would say Marco, and you'd say Polo. And the person with their eyes closed, they'd say Marco, and they'd try to find you, and we'd see how long it took one another to find each other just from the sounds of our voices. Now, it wouldn't be near as difficult if we had our eyes open. And many of Christians, they wonder why they don't get answers from God. They wonder why they're in a mess, and they wonder why their lives are in turmoil, and they wonder why they find themselves in situations where they don't know which way is up, and it's because they're walking around with spiritually, their eyes are closed. They've got the blinders pulled over their eyes. The devil has the wool pulled over their eyes, and they're walking around blindly. They're not using the Word of God. The Bible says that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen. The Bible says that before we're saved, our conscience is darkened to understanding. But once we're born again, we have access to the things of God. We're able to know and we're able to understand the spiritual deep things of God. And that guidance requires focus. If we're going to follow God, we have to follow with concentration. We have to have a vision. The Bible says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Amen. Bible says in John chapter number 10 and verse number 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I remember I got lost in the Walmart one time as a little boy, and my mom, she panicked, because she likes to spaz out all the time. But, well, I mean, I guess I would too if I lost my kid in a Walmart, but she was hollering for me, but not only was she hollering for me, but she had a bunch of other people hollering for me too. And I heard all these people hollering my name, and I was scared because I didn't want to go to any of these people. I wanted to find my mom. And sooner or later, I was wandering around Walmart, and I began to hear a familiar voice, and I could tell that it was hers, and I found her that way. My preacher told me a story years ago about the first time that he went to Israel, and he was at the shepherd's field, and he said it was wonderful to get to see God's illustration that he put in the scriptures right here come to fruition before his very eyes. He said he was at the shepherd's field, supposedly, where the angel came, and he announced the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, but it was just outside of Bethlehem where those shepherds were, and those shepherds were still there today, and he said there were two shepherds. He said one of them was wearing a garment, and he said it had a red cross on it. It had a red cross on his garment. It was painted on there. And he said the other shepherd had a big blue X painted on his shirt. And he said those men, he said he saw those shepherds out there talking, and it began to get dark. And he said they were there just at sunset. And as the sun began to fall down below the horizon of those hills at the shepherd's field, he said that man with the red cross on his shirt, you forgive me for my lingo, but he hollered for those sheep. He yelled for those sheep, and there was a big, massive group of sheep where that big patch of green grass was, and there was ones on the side of their wool, they had blue X's and they had red crosses, and the ones with the red crosses left that grass and followed that man. And he said, I was immediately reminded of what the Word of God says. We have to have our focus in the right place. We don't want to be deceived, amen? We don't want to be deceived into following just anybody who gets behind a pulpit with a Bible and says they're a preacher. Amen. We talked about that just a minute ago in the Q&A. Anybody could put on a suit and get behind a pulpit with a Bible and say they're a preacher, but that doesn't mean you got to believe what they say. And I don't want you to believe anything that I say unless it's coming from this book right here. Amen? Because what I think ain't important. What God thinks is important. Amen? And the Bible says that we have to follow with that concentration. The Bible says we need to follow as deer children. Amen. And if you're saved and you're in here, I pray and I hope that the Spirit of God has given you enough discernment to be able to focus on Jesus and follow Jesus, especially in those times when it gets hard. When I think of kids, when I think of them following, I not only think of following with concentration, but I think of following with consultation. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? When you consult somebody, when there's a consultation involved, it usually involves one party coming to the other party to ask them something. Usually it involves some kind of loan or some kind of permission or some kind of advice. And I noticed with kids, a lot of the times, and this can go one way or the other, amen? A lot of times, a kid is not going to ask permission. They're just going to do something and ask forgiveness later. And that's when we find ourselves in hot water. The Bible says, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Hey, I'll tell you, the times that I found myself in trouble in my life were the times that I didn't consult the Lord. The times that I didn't pray enough about something. The times that I didn't consult his word enough about something. Amen? Now, on the flip side of that coin, I believe that it pleases God when we come to him with prayer requests. The young lady that sang in Sunday school, she was asking me after the service this morning, she said, sometimes I think that I just I just get on God's nerves as much as I pray. And I said, I promise you, you are not getting on God's nerves. I said, He wants to hear from you as much as you can give to Him. God loves it when we pray. The Bible says that our prayers, that the prayers of the saint are offered up as a sweet-smelling savor. That's what the Bible says, that God loves those. And I believe it's special, you know, when a kid, when they come up and they ask your permission for something. That's a blessing. I'm sure as a father, it blesses you when one of your boys comes up to you and says, Daddy, can I do this? The fact that they would come and ask your permission, it's just, you know, it's a way to show respect. It's a way to show reverence. It's a way to show, you know, it's a biblical thing, amen, that those kids are doing. And as those kids follow with consultation, the Bible says in Philippians chapter number 4, it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. We read in Hebrews chapter number 4, I preached this morning, if you were there this morning, it says that we may come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and help in our time of need. You know, a surefire way to not get what you need from God, don't ask for it. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Knock and you shall find. Seek and it shall be given unto you. And what I believe that God wants from us in our walk with Christ and as we follow Christ is for us to consult Him, for us to get Him involved. And it does not matter. It could be the smallest, most minuscule aspect of your life, but to God it matters. Amen. It matters to God. We have a high priest who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, just like we talked about this morning. We need to follow with consultation. You find yourselves many a times in what I would call a spiritual stalemate. I've been there. You've probably been there. But you find yourself in a place where you don't feel like God's giving you an answer. And in those times, it's important to question yourself and say, well, how much have I been reading my Bible? Well, how much have I been praying about it? How much have I talked to God about it? Have I consulted the Lord about it? Have I brought it to the Lord? I believe that we not only need to follow with concentration and with consultation, I believe we need to follow with compassion. Brother Lowell's wife, she mentioned while we were fellowshipping today, she mentioned a childlike innocence. She used that phrase. And it made me think of that passage of Scripture. It made me think of how God tells us to follow His children. And you know, children are some of the most compassionate people. You know, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, they don't have near as much as experience as we do. But their hearts haven't had that opportunity to harden the ways that ours have. I tell you what, we ought to pray every day that God keeps our heart tender. Amen. That God keeps our heart pure. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's a big deal to me. Amen. I want to see God. Amen. Now, I won't get to learn a little bit more about my doctrine. I don't believe the Lord's going to physically appear to us bodily while we're here on this earth. I believe that the next time we see the Lord, it'll be in the rapture, unless we go by way of death and our soul goes to be with the Lord. But I do believe this. I believe that you can see God, the evidence of God in your life. I believe that you can see His thumbprint in your life. I believe that each and every single person in here, if we could look back on our lives, if we could look across it somewhat like a timeline, we could see times that God intervened in our life, times that our faith just swelled up, times that our faith just grew because we were obedient to the Word of God. And it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And there's people, you can call me a sissy, but I want to have a pure heart. I want to have a heart that is stirred. The Bible says, look at how many times Jesus was performing miracles and doing things in His earthly ministry. And what's the Bible say right before? It says, and He was moved with compassion. You know, the Bible says in Jude, verse number 22, it doesn't say, and of some having pity, making a difference. Yeah. That's not what the Bible says. You can have all the pity in the world. You can have the biggest broken heart in the world, but if you don't do anything about it, it ain't going to make a difference. The Bible says, and of some having compassion, making a difference. We're talking just just a minute ago about churches that have condemned and turned their back on certain people because they didn't feel that they were necessarily part of their crowd or part of their camp. Those are churches that have lost compassion for people. Those are churches that are giving up on people because they don't have the compassion of Christ in their hearts. And the Bible says right here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 2, walk in love. You look at a child, you look at that childlike innocence, and you think to yourself, there's a lot we could learn from them. There's a lot we could learn from them. Their compassion, just their desire and their want to help without even asking. You know, a child, they're always wanting to help. They're always wanting to be involved some way. They're always wanting to do something. Man, I tell you, we talked about it back in Sunday school. I like how the Bible agrees with itself. Amen. We come back to the same consensus oftentimes, but God's looking for the person who says, I'll do it. Says, I'm available. There's no job that's too high for me. There's no job that's too low for me to do. Amen. Where does that stem from? That stems from compassion. That comes from the Holy Ghost. Walk in love as Christ hath loved us. Man, let me tell you, if I'm preaching to anybody right now, I'm preaching to Brother Michael Hayes. It's a lot easier to say, hey, love the way that Christ loves, than it is to do it. It's a lot easier to say, hey, we ought to forgive as Christ forgave us, than it is to do it. And you know that just as well as I do, because you're made of the same stuff I am. But God tells us, if we want to follow Him, it's got to be with compassion. We've got to have that compassion if we want to follow God, if we want to please Him with our lives. As we finish up here this evening, if you didn't get anything out of the message, I want you to hear this. Think about the way a child follows and evaluate your walk with God and think to yourself, how similar are they? Now, I don't want to be the one of the kids that's kicking and screaming and dragging their feet while God tries to pull me, because if God's not going to drag me into His will kicking and screaming, I don't believe that. He'll let go and say, all right, you'll stay right where you are. You won't get any closer to me. You won't get any closer to my will. You'll just stay right there and you'll get stagnant and you'll get stale and you'll get tired. But if we follow God, that's when He'll do things in our life. That's when we'll see things done. That's when we'll see the thumbprint of God in our lives. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just one moment? I don't know about you, but I can't look at a single aspect of my spiritual life and think to myself, I'm pretty good in that area. Or I've got that nailed down. No, every aspect of my spiritual life, I could grow. I could get closer to God. I have not arrived, and neither have you. We need God. We need God to grow our faith, to grow us spiritually. And I tell you how that comes. It comes by following Him, consistently following Him. The Bible never says that it's easy. We talked about it this morning in Luke 10. He says, go forth. I send you forth as lambs among wolves. But he did promise us, just like Miss Blankenship's testimony this morning, He does promise us He'll go with us every step of the way. That He'll never leave us or forsake us. There might be one in here tonight, and I say, preacher, I'm just going to come clean and tell you, I have trouble following God, and I think it's because I'm not saved. I don't know that I've ever really been saved. The Bible says, behold, today is the accepted day. Today is the day of salvation. Get things right before you leave here tonight. Maybe you're the reason God had me preach that tonight. Would there be anybody in here who said, preacher, I'm not saved, but I need to be saved? Anybody at all? I wonder if there's anybody in here this evening that'd be honest enough to raise their hand and say, "Preacher, I need to do a better job of following God. There are aspects of my life where I need to do a better job following God, and let me tell you, you got your eyes closed, but I got both hands up right now. I need the Lord. We need the Lord. This church needs the Lord." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. God, I thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I thank you so much that we don't have to bounce through this life not knowing you and not knowing your will for our lives. But God, we can trust alone in the settled word of God. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this congregation. Lord, I pray that you would just guide them in their search for a pastor. And Lord, bless this candidacy, God. And Lord, if it's your will, Lord, I know that the gates of hell can't prevail against it, God. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to do what you're doing in this church. And God, continue to bless these people, Lord. And I see that they have a hunger and a desire to see the church grow. I could tell from the questions that they ask that they care about your word and they care about your will for this place, Lord. And God, you promised us, you told us in your word, Lord, in the book of Matthew, you said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And God, I pray that you just fill us up. God, that you touch this church, Lord, that you would do with this place more than these people could ever imagine. More than they'd ever expect, God. You do exceeding and abundantly above all that we may ask or think, Lord. And God, help us to make sure that you, and only you, get all the glory for it. Thank you for this time we've had together. Keep us safe as we make our way home tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.